As promised, we are joined right now by somebody who covers boxing and MMA for Yahoo Sports. Again, the first sports writer to be honored as outstanding journalist by the Nevada Press Association. He is a very good friend of the program, and I thought there was an amazing, amazing fight on Fight Island, so I had to get him back in to talk about it. He is Kevin Ioli. Kevin, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm great, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, good. All right, so Kevin, take me back to before Saturday. You had spoke with Habib in the build-up to that fight. At that time, how would you describe his mood, and just where was he at that point in his life?
Obviously, you know, when I spoke to him, everybody was trying to get him to talk about his father. And so they were directly asking him, hey, how does it feel not having your father there? And I realized that wasn't the way to go. You know, it kind of had to go in the back door and talk about it. And so, you know, I got him to talk about his father. And it was very obvious that, you know, his father's loss had affected him deeply. And he said, I started training camp in Russia. I didn't know what I was doing. And that is amazing for a guy that I had as the pound-for-pound best in the world before this. A lot of people had best or number two, saying, I didn't know what I was doing as I started training camp. A remarkable admission when you really think about it for a fighter of that level. But his father had meant so much to him and had led him, you know, so directly that, you know, I'm not surprised, you know, when you know the relationship they had, not surprised to hear the way he spoke.
In fact, can you, Kevin, kind of finish that thought? I'm not sure that everybody truly understands the nature of that relationship, the relationship that he had with his father. How much did he mean to him, and how would you describe that relationship?
Well, you know, his father started him in MMA as a young boy. You know, there's the famous video of him wrestling the bear. And I wrote in my column today, you know, he started wrestling a bear, and then he ended fighting a bear of a man in Justin Gaethje. But his father was like his best friend. He was his mentor. He was his coach. Obviously served as that father figure. The relationship was very deep. And it went just beyond, you know, everybody loves their father, but it went beyond just the typical relationship to where everything he did in his life he consulted with his father on. And so it was a very deep and very passionate relationship that the two of them had. And when his father got COVID early in the spring, and you know, had some ups and downs to it, and he finally ended up having a stroke as a result of complications from the COVID. And Habib, really, you saw, just, you know, he struggled to deal with it. And even at one point, you know, when Dana White was tweeting about the UFC coming back, Habib was kind of pushing back on it, saying, hey, this COVID is serious, because he was looking at his whole world was going away in front of him. And you know, you just had a feel for him, because you knew that this was not your typical relationship, father and son, which, thankfully, I had a great relationship with my dad, and most people do. This one really was second level, and it was something else.
We're talking to Kevin Ioli. So, Kevin, when you look at the fight itself, obviously, when you think about Habib, you think about how great he is as a grappler. But his coach, Javier Mendez, was talking about his striking ability. Then you have that first round where Habib is willing to trade with Justin Gaethje. How impressed were you with his striking on Saturday?
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, you know, you're talking about Gaethje. He's 22-2 going into that fight with 21 finishes. I mean, it was just incredible, all with his hands, and just a tremendous striker. And now here's Habib literally walking him down. And Gaethje landed a couple of shots, but I thought Habib gave better than he took in the first round. Gaethje had some kicks, which Mendez told me afterwards that he was a little bit concerned about, that they didn't expect Gaethje to kick as much as he did, and that the kicks were effective on Habib. But, you know, as you saw Habib, you know, moving forward, he had no regard. I mean, and that showed the epitome of confidence, because most people don't want to walk right at Justin Gaethje because of the tremendous power he has. And Habib knew that he was good enough as a striker that he could do that, close the gap that he had to get close to be able to take him down. And I thought the striking was fantastic. And I think if he would have decided to continue on in the sport, he might have.
Kevin, I think you're so right. Like, you don't want to walk right at Gaethje because he is so dangerous, but that's exactly what he did. But then Habib, he puts so much pressure on the opposition when he does that. He takes Gaethje down in the first round, but there was not enough time left in the round to finish the submission. But then in the second round, he takes him down again. I thought, Kevin, even for Habib, I thought it was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen when he applied that triangle hold. What was going through your head when you saw him get that?
I was stunned at it almost like Gaethje was almost understanding of what was going to happen, right? You know, it was like, you know, I thought Justin looked at it and said, I can't beat this guy, and sort of, you know, submitted before he even tapped. You know, it's like he realized, you know, he was in with somebody superior. And, you know, it was just phenomenal the way Khabib did it. I thought he would have gotten, if he had 20 more seconds in the first round, he would have gotten that arm bar, and the fight would have ended late in the first round. And then the triangle, he chokes him unconscious. Just remarkable grappling and remarkable work by, you know, one of the greatest fighters we're ever going to see.
All right, so a lot happened after the submission that we'll get to in a second, but what about that performance overall? Where does that rank for Khabib in your mind among his best?
I think it surpasses even his win over Conor, because Justin was an All-American wrestler. Conor, that was the weakness that Conor had and still has, is that he doesn't have that, you know, base where he's easier to take down than a lot of other guys. That wasn't the case for Justin Gaethje. You know, he had a high takedown defense going in. He was an All-American wrestler at Northern Colorado. He was a guy that, you know, you looked at the stylistic matchup and you said, there's a lot of things that would go in Justin's favor here. You know, he had the power, he had the wrestling to keep it on his feet. You know, all those things were working, and Khabib does it. So I think that surpasses his win over Conor McGregor and is the best that he's ever done.
We are talking to Kevin Ioli. So, Kevin, what kind of thoughts did you have as you watched Khabib in the moments after the submission and then during the interview in the cage?
Yeah, you know, it's almost like you get emotional because you know these people for a long time, and you know what it means, and this is like the saddest thing. You know, you think of, you know, the closest person in his life passes away, and here he is on public display, and all the, you know, he bottled up that emotion so much before the fight. You know, he didn't want to let it out and show any sign of weakness, and now all the emotion comes out. And I thought it was interesting at first. You didn't see any of his team go to him as he got in the center of the cage. They all stayed back, and they respected him and gave him room, and it was Justin Gaethje who actually went over and gave him comfort. And Justin said, "Your father would be proud of you." That was what he said when he put his hand on Khabib's back as Khabib was on all fours in the center of the cage. And it was really emotional. I've covered these things for a long time, and they always tell you don't fall in love with the fighters, and I don't. I've learned that, but you know, it was hard not to be emotional seeing what Khabib was going through.
I agree with you, Kevin. Watching that from my living room, I thought that was a very, very moving moment. I thought that was very emotional. And if you know the sport, like obviously like you do, but you know when a fighter takes off his gloves, yeah, and leaves them there, you know what that means. Now, you've seen plenty of fighters in MMA and boxing both announce that they're going to retire only to come back sometime later. Do you think there's any chance of that happening in this case, or was that the official ending?
I think that was it. I really do. I think that because of the relationship that Khabib had with his father, that he just can't do it. And he said in the cage, you know, my mother begged me not to fight. I promised her I would do this. And I think, you know, that he is a man of conviction. And, you know, he said he would never fight in Nevada again after what happened in the Conor McGregor fight. He stood to that, did not come back here and fight, said he wouldn't fight Conor McGregor again. He stood with that. Here he is now saying this. I believe it. I think that, you know, he's a man that stands by what he believes in, and he believes that he's accomplished what he wanted to do. He's done, and without father there, he's going to walk away. I think we've seen the last of him as an active fighter. Javier Mendez told me he's going to train with him at AKA, train other fighters, so we'll see him as a coach, but we're done watching him as a fighter, I believe.
All right, so if that in fact is the case and that's the end of his career, what will you remember most about his career?
I will remember, Jim, that he fought everybody, that the people that he didn't fight, he tried to fight, and that he was constantly getting better. From his first fight, he was tremendous. You know, he was A minus on his first fight, and his last fight he was A++. You couldn't get any better than he was on Saturday night. And I think you remember that even though he was the best fighter in the world, he was still seeking to get better and improve. And that tells you the kind of attitude that he had toward the sport.
Not only that, but to see the reaction of his peers and to see what other great, great fighters had to say about him. I mean, they're all in awe of him. It was like him and everybody else. And then, Kevin, you've got this notion of the emotional pain that he had to deal with, it as if that weren't challenging enough. But then we come to find out that he was injured during camp, didn't really tell anybody, and then on top of that, he had the mumps.
Yeah.
So from your conversations with Javier Mendez, just how tough of a camp was that?
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. There was guys in his camp that had bronchitis. So there was a staph infection that was going around, so you had to be really careful about that because a staph infection will take you right out of the fight. You know, he breaks his toe where he's having trouble walking. And he's in a sport where, you know what, foot stomps are legal. You know, he knows that, you know, Gaethje's liable, they're on the cage. And one of the ways Gaethje might have worked, you know, they never really got along the cage, but he had to think, you know, they're clinched on the cage. Gaethje might foot stomp them to try to, you know, use it as a way to get out of the clinch that they were in. I mean, he knew that that was going to be a problem. Then you I don't know how an adult gets mumps, but he had mumps, and it's like you're looking at it going, how does this guy do all this? He had mumps, Jim, September 11th he got it, so it was 2 weeks. So think about that. He's ready to go September 25th. He starts to train again. A couple days after he starts to train, he breaks his toe. He has to take another week off. It's close to the fight. He's in early October at this point. It was remarkable what he was able to do.
Now, I think it tells you all you need to know about the guy and his mindset, that he could go through all of that and then show up the way he did and perform the way he did. Kevin Ioli joining me for a few more moments. So Kevin, I thought it was really interesting what Gaethje said after the fight. He said, look, if you're going to lose, I'd rather lose like that because there's no long-term physical damage I have to worry about. I just got choked out. So where does Gaethje go from here?
You know, I left Gaethje pound for pound the same spot I had him. You know, I didn't move him. And I think, I personally think Gaethje should be fighting for the title again next. I think he is the best lightweight in the world currently. It's up for grabs, right? But I think based on his win over Tony Ferguson, that he proved since Habib has retired that he is now the best 155-pounder in the world. So I think he should be involved in the fight. But my sense is, since they have a fight for Conor McGregor already made with Dustin Poirier, that's going to be the fight. Dana White was noncommittal, but I think that's the fight they're going to go with, Jim. I think they're going to say Conor versus Dustin for the championship. You know, Gaethje's now going to be left, either to fight, a rematch with Ferguson, and I don't know that that makes a heck of a lot of sense. You know, maybe Michael Chandler would be a guy in there, or Charles Oliveira. I think that's where. But I think the fair thing, to be honest with you, would be to put Gaethje back in the title fight, because I think he is the best lightweight in the world. He just happened to lose to the best lightweight of all time.
We're talking to Kevin Ioli. So, Kevin, obviously, Conor and Poirier is a great matchup. We've seen that before. Any idea where Conor's at mentally right now?
You know, boy, he seems to be all over the map. You know, he retired, and his team was saying, yes, he's retired. And all of us knew that he was not retired. That was ridiculous. And, you know, the fact that he had the incident that he did in France where he got arrested, that tells me that he's still not understanding the gravity of some of this information. You know, we don't know if he's guilty of a crime. He hasn't been convicted of anything yet. But put yourself in these situations I don't like. And I'd love to get back to that Conor that we saw in 2013 and 14, when he was laser focused, like Habib has been his entire career, on getting better and becoming the UFC champion, and Conor wasn't getting in trouble outside the cage, and he was a huge draw, and he was getting better each fight. I think that's the Conor I'd like to see get back, but I wonder if we're ever going to see that Conor now. You know, he has the money to do what he wants. Made $100 million against Mayweather, made a lot of money in other fights. His whiskey business is doing well. He doesn't need to fight, so as a result, he doesn't live the life of a fighter like these other guys do.
Exactly. That Gaethje, I think, still lives that life. I think you have to have that Spartan mentality. And, you know, Conor was not that far removed from coming up as a plumber's apprentice, and he wanted it, and he paid the price, and he was hungry.
Right.
But as you point out, and Dana White has pointed out repeatedly, things change when you got $100 million in the bank. Hey, Kevin, one last thought. You and I tweeted about this briefly afterwards, but how did Robert Whittaker look to you on Saturday?
God, Robert Whittaker is so freaking good. And I mean, it's a shame that Adesanya is so good, right? And so he overshadows Whittaker. But I think Robert Whittaker, you look at his body of work and you drop that Adesanya fight out, because I think with Adesanya, we're looking at another transcendent champion in the UFC. If you skip that one fight, look at these wonderful wins that he's had. You know, Yoel Romero, and I mean, all of these victories that he's had against guys that not a lot of people were excited to fight. I thought he fought really well, better than he did in his win over Darren Till a couple months earlier. I thought he looked in complete control of this fight. He understood what Cannonier was going to do, and he had that combination that he threw a number of times, you know, the right hand and then the kick. landed several times and finally was what really won the fight for him. I think Robert Whittaker is a fantastic, fantastic fighter. And I'll tell you what, even though I would favor Adesanya in the rematch, you cannot rule out Whittaker figuring out a way and overcoming, you know, the gap that was between them in a rematch if and when it happens.
Agreed. Like, I can't pick against Izzy. I just can't. But I couldn't have been more impressed with Whittaker. And then a final thought, Kevin, like you point out, you can't get too close to these guys. Whittaker, man, he is such a good dude, isn't he?
He is. I mean, he's a family man, and he's a guy that respects other fighters, and he comes, you know, one of his weaknesses has been he pushes his body so hard that he drains himself, and he overtrains. So this guy is all in on this sport, and he's a good man to boot. So yeah, he's a guy that, you know, he's an easy guy to root for.
As mentioned, he is the first sports writer to be honored as Outstanding Journalist by the Nevada Press Association. He covers boxing and MMA both for Yahoo Sports and is a good friend of ours. Kevin Ioli, my guest. Kevin, always good to have you on the show. Thank you so much for doing that.
Appreciate it, Jim. See you soon.
Kevin Ioli. It's a good conversation. Habib was amazing. And I tend to agree. Like, whenever you see an MMAer or a boxer say that they're retiring, you know, even sometimes they may mean it and then they come back. Most of the time they do not mean it and they come back. I think that we have probably seen the last of Habib. I mean, there was a time when getting to 30-0 and fighting GSP to do it was pretty important to him and his dad, but his dad is no longer here. And he said after that fight, look, I can't do this without my dad. I can't do this without my father. I don't want to. My mother asked me not to. I said to her, I need one more fight. I just need to do this fight. I don't think he's coming back. I think that's the last we've seen of him as a fighter.